listening to the Post-Apocalyptic Media Podcast, your source for all the latest post-apocalyptic news.
Hello and welcome back to the Post-Apocalyptic Media Podcast. I'm your host, Sean, senior editor here at Post-Apocalyptic Media, and this is episode number 108, where I am joined with Mr. JJ Shirty. How you doing, JJ?
Mate, yourself?
I'm great, yeah. Now you are an author, you are a teacher, you're just a renaissance man, right?
Yeah, I'm doing my master's degree in Europe at the moment, so I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that would make sense. And you're originally from Australia, right?
I grew up in Australia, I lived a few years in Taiwan, and now I'm in Europe. So, yeah, moving around a bit lately.
Very cool. That's the life right there. I mean, I'm a huge fan of traveling, and I feel like that's one of those things that that I'd probably appreciate. So you're in Germany now, you say, and you're teaching. What are you teaching?
I just teach like English online.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, fancy, like that's what I did in Taiwan, and so it's a pretty make money. And,
yeah,
you get to meet new people.
That's cool. That's very cool. And so, as far as writing, I know that you do a lot in the post-apocalyptic realm, which is why we're talking right now. And I know that you've written, you have a new book, actually, but you've also written previous books. Can you tell me a little bit about, some of the books that you've written before?
Okay, so technically, the one is Days Too Dark. That was the big one. So, for some reason, I decided to put the cart before the horse and do my magnum opus straight out of the gate. Mm-hmm. And that came out in like end of 2017, I believe. And with a lot of really great people for that. That's a post-apocalyptic journal. You know, like that found journal sort of idea?
Yeah.
You know, from the Mines of Moria, he's like reading through the journals, like they're coming, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I wanted like lots of artwork with that sort of thing.
Oh, that's cool.
I think I did a competition with Post-Apocalyptic Media back in the day with that. Won a few copies, so that was fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. You used to write for the site a couple years ago, right?
I just randomly pop up with an idea every now and again.
So. Yeah, I'm kind of at that point now, but yeah, I understand. So this new book, I know that you... Is it out now, or what's the situation on that?
Okay. So, funnily enough, I was literally about to press the release button, the publish button, when my computer died. So, it's great timing. But, you know, trying to make the most of it. So, basically, you might remember a few years ago, I like 1 year, didn't really sit with me too well, so I just stopped. But I had the bright idea to do a poll on Twitter and let people decide what my next story should be. Hmm. Out of control. I got a lot of votes. And so I ended up with this really sort of crazy sort of basic outline of a setting for a post-apocalyptic story. And yeah, it just kept spiraling out of control until I had this, collection of 11 short stories set in the same sort of world. And it's just this transgressive, swear, but cluster f-bomb would be the best way to describe it.
So is it an anthology, or did you put them together and make a novel out of it?
So this would be a collection, so same as an anthology, but it's all by one person. So it same sort of setting, and they sort of interconnect a very strange way. Like have you ever played Dark Souls?
Yeah.
One of those people who was like very inspired by Dark Souls, like everyone else. And so yeah, like if I say like there's some weird timey-wimey, time is convoluted sort of stuff going on in the story, you might have an idea of what's going on.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, the short stories interconnect that way.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, so I actually, the guy I was talking to last episode kind of was doing the same thing, and I'm a big fan of that. He's talking about how he wrote one story, and then he started writing prequels and sequels to that story, and writing other characters, backstories and their branches of the story. And I think that's super interesting. I don't know. Is that kind of what this is like?
Sort of. Spoiling too much.
Yeah.
So basically, the sort of plots for the setting I had were environmental collapse, social decay, and reality's end. Two sort of apocalypses, and one just all hell breaks loose. Even worse than that, like the laws of reality to stop working. So there is room for things to go very crazy. And so really just 10 characters. They've each got their own thing going, but they all sort of intersect at the end, and you sort of see what happens. And I like the idea that, you slowly start piecing together, an idea of what happened, but you never get the full picture.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
again,
cool.
Very Dark Souls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Keep people on their toes.
Very much so in this case.
What's the name of that book?
So it's now called The Land of Long Shadows. I ran into a bit of trouble with Amazon with both the title and the cover. So, yeah, they don't like bad words if you're not, a big name. So I had to change the title. But,
That's cool.
Hopefully it'll be out soon. Computer back.
Yeah. Yeah, Amazon, I don't know what their deal is lately. They've been shutting down people's accounts I don't know, little things. I don't know if it's an automated thing or what, but it seems like they're getting kind of heavy-handed with the restrictions lately.
Understand there's a lot of automation going on, and you just got to keep going back and forth until you actually get to a person.
Yeah.
And then you can actually start getting somewhere.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy how that's set up, but I mean, it's the biggest, basically the biggest bookstore at this point. So we do what we can.
You think about the volume of creators, customers they've got, there's got to be automation all over the place.
Yeah, it kind of has to work that way. Well, speaking of collections and anthologies, I am working on one right now called Through the Remains, and you are in it. You are in it. And so the guy that I had on last week was the same thing. It's basically a collection of the winners and, of all the winners. There's 30 of the best stories from the contest that we had late last year. At Post-Apocalyptic Media. So I gathered up all those and put them all together, and it's going to be in this anthology. And you're in there, and basically I think there's 20... I sent out for 20 or for 30, and I think two people didn't want to be in it, so I think it's 28 at this point. And it should be cool, because the last one I did last year was only 19 stories. It did really well, had a great reception, and this is, 80% more. So that's it should be pretty cool. I'm excited about it.
How many words are you dealing with for that book?
It's about 91,000 right now. So
that's a good size.
Yeah. It's not like a Brandon Sanderson book, but it's pretty big.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that. I'm sure I'm gonna be talking about that on this podcast, every single chance I get, because I'm looking for it to come out in probably August, realistically, but I don't know. Maybe, you never know what happens. But it's all post-apocalyptic stories. It's all, really, really great stories. I was really fascinated by a lot of them. And your story. I don't want to give any spoilers. but your story, I really enjoyed. And it's funny because I actually, we've talked before. Before this, because you used to work I didn't work at Post-Apocalyptic Media when you did, but, we've talked before on Twitter here and there, just very casually. Yeah. And so I knew of you. And then when you submitted the story and I read it, I said, wow, that's why this guy is everywhere on Twitter. I keep hearing about you on Twitter and that's why I thought it was a really great story. But
I actually, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, do you feel like talking a little bit about maybe a spoiler-free rundown of the story?
Well, me too, or do you want to go over it?
No, you go ahead.
Hey, so basically just about old man who's trying to retrieve something that was taken from him. Mm-hmm. Rather cataclysmic landscape, trying to retrieve it. And there was a Guy Pearce movie set in Australia. So good. I've had Robin Pattinson in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, can I spoil the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's hunting down these people and through the whole movie, and he's just gunning people down. You don't really know what he's doing. He gets to the end. He's trying to get his car back, and it turns out the only reason he wants his car back is because his dead dog's in the back, and he wants to bury his dog.
Oh.
Or I think it's called.
Yeah. I didn't see that.
Very good film. Yeah, I just love the idea of like just some like old guy and like, you know, old men, like they're stubborn and they just, when they want something, they're just going to go for it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's my guy.
That's, I'm getting to that point, I think, but yeah, I can relate.
I'm gone gray already, so yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so.
But yeah, without spoiling what that item is, I think it was really great. I don't know. Definitely people have to read it. And that'll be in the anthology. And as far as, you know, kind of what your inspirations have been to this point, you know, I know that as, you know, you write a lot of post-apocalyptic, you pretty much focus on that. So what was it that kind of got you to not only be inspired to write about it, but also just enjoy that whole genre?
My first book, like I had like one of those like air quotes, interesting childhoods.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of found it hard to relate to everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Like be talking about the weekend, you know, the fun things they did, and they'd be like, oh, what'd you do? I'm like, yeah, you don't want to know, man. And so I sort of felt very like sort of related, just the extremes of like what was going on in my personal life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I gravitated to these stories where like it's always some chaos going on.
Yeah.
So much, you know, like striving to be the best they can be. They're just striving to get by.
Yeah.
Like that's the goals you've got to deal with. You're like, okay, like I'm not trying to like self-actualize myself here. I'm just trying to get a can of food.
Yeah.
So I don't die. So I'm like, okay, like I can vibe with that. And so, yeah, I just sort of kept, like my dad showed me Mad Max 2 when I was like 4 or something. Just scarred me for life. My cousin showed me Resident Evil 2. And he's like, watch this, bro. And some liquor comes and like pops some dude's head off. And, yeah. And like I had to go camping that weekend, and that like some guy broke out of prison.
Oh.
Like in real life, there was some killer on the loose.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm just like scarred for life from all these post-apocalyptic stories. So yeah, I just sort of fell into that vein and just never found my way out. But you know, it's good. Like I find like a lot of freedom in being able to tell stories like that.
Yeah. I think that's interesting. I think so, you know, people react differently to different situations. And I feel like when this pandemic, you know, happened in the last couple of years, a lot of people thought that post-apocalyptic media would go away. Like they wouldn't, people would be so tired of it that they wouldn't want to read about it. But I think the opposite is true. And it seems like that's kind of, I guess, your experience where, you know, if you're already immersed in it and then you just keep going because it's what you know. While some people might look for the opposite, I don't know.
Enough for me. Like I had people making this joke all the time. Like I was in Taiwan when all that happened,
mm-hmm.
and they were the first ones to sort of like raise the alarm, and they just shut down the whole, like they shut their borders, and so just kept working through the whole pandemic. World was just shutting down, and like JJ, post-apocalyptic guy, just kept going to work like every day. So yeah, I sort of missed out on the whole thing. Yeah. Like part of like the dark thing, my first book is that like the government like locks people out of Australia. It happens, and that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
And so I we all sort of reacted differently to that sort of situation. And I saw some friends back home go down some strange paths. Mm. And they were all too happy to leave me out there. And I was like, okay. Cool. And that's how I ended up in Europe. So
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
What about, have you been keeping an eye on any of the new stuff that's coming out? I know that there's a couple things that are out right now as far as, like Silo. Have you seen Silo?
I've read Wool, but I haven't read any of the others.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the show itself is just, it's basically at, it's the first season. I think that's going to cover Wool, I'm pretty sure. And then I think they're supposed to do more seasons that are going to cover the other two books. I'm not sure exactly how far they're going to get into it. So far, I've only seen, I think, 5 episodes, and I'm really enjoying it. It's really good. I haven't read the book, though. So I think I'm trying to get, I'm one of those people, now it's like almost too late to try to get my hand on the books because everyone's trying to get them. So I hate to buy new. I don't know. I'm trying to find a used copy. So.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I've read the book, and so from knowing there's about 2 episodes left, I think there's 10 episodes this first season. Yeah, I think they're probably going to get like halfway. Like something happens, and you know, it's change through the story.
Yeah.
So, I'm really liking the TV show. I they've done a lot to sort of like together a bit more secure. Like there's more links in the story now than the book. I don't know why. The book actually my cup of tea, but I found it so hard to read, and it took me like a year to finish it. Because like if so you're up to episode 5, so you would have like the sheriff, like his wife. That's a big part of the first part of the book. Then you know what happens with them. Then you go to Juliet. Yeah. Sort of starts feeling a bit disjointed in the book, but yeah, the TV show is doing a great job. I'm really enjoying it.
Oh. It's good to know.
But the books, apparently there's a bunch of other books as well because, you know, it did so well. So yeah. I'd like to check them out now.
Yeah, me too. What about anything else? Any other shows or games or anything catching your fancy?
Like everyone else, The Last of Us. That was fantastic. I mean, original to say there about that. That was great. Did you see Vespa?
Yes. I like that.
Enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like some high-tech stuff going on, but like you could tell the world was just horrible. And like it wasn't like, you know, let's save the world. It's like, let's just try and, you know, survive the local warlord.
Yeah. Yeah. That was
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Snowpiercer got cancelled, which if you were ever... I think they got cancelled at the perfect time.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I didn't see the last season, though, so I'm not sure where they went from there. I got the gist of it, that they're basically getting off the train. They haven't shown the actual last one that's been filmed. But, I mean, the last one that was aired, I didn't see.
Okay, yeah. So you know what happens, but... Yeah, so the train stops.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, if you're gonna stop, that's where to stop.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed the movie, but I enjoyed more from the TV.
Yeah.
So they things, but it was still good to watch. But besides that, I've just been playing State of Decay 2. That's just some zombie. Basically, you just make a little village and just survive zombie attacks, like in that for like 4 or 5 years now, and it just keeps getting better and better. I mean, like I think that's what Fallout 76 was aiming for, but they just fumbled that at every turn. But then like State of Decay 2, like they've just been like ramping it up at every turn. It's just like, oh, I love it, man.
Yeah, I haven't played that in a few years, and I liked 1, and then when 2 came out, I played it a little bit. I really, really enjoyed it, but I just moved on to something else. But I should check it out again. That's encouraging.
Yeah, yeah. It's I just love the idea of like, you know, kind of like complete random survivors, and you can like check out their skills and stats. But like, you're like, you're good. You got some good skills, but you're like, your character's a bit of a douche, and so you're gonna cause problems. So sorry. Yeah. Bye.
And they have driving in that game, right?
Much better in 2. Like, you can drive through fences now. You don't just, like, crash on a wicked, you know,
fence. So, see, that's what Fallout 76 needed.
We'll derail your entire podcast. Man, like, I'm a Fallout fan from, like, way back in the day. I played 1, 2. Dicks came out. I loved that. I got the different vibe. Like, it wasn't so much retro as it was just like sci-fi. I didn't play any of the console games. Came out, $2,800 because I went out and bought like a giant TV just for Fallout 3. And like, my university grade suffered. Don't get me started. But yeah, man, Ford 76 was just, like you're a writer as well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So like you would have seen, like if you played the game, you would have seen like, okay, so they've made this choice to sort of get around this little loophole here. Like there's no characters. So then like everything's like voice recordings.
Yeah.
You know, please save our town. It's like, wow, you're all dead.
Yeah. I wanted to like it so much. I think a lot of people did. And I gave up on it, you know, not long after launch, but then I went back to it about a year later, played with some friends, and then we were just like, eh. You know, we felt like it still wasn't there.
I think that's where it's at. I think, like, if you have friends, you just want to go out and have, like, a good time. You just want to talk, you know, nonsense.
Yeah.
And just play. That's a good time. But as for, like, did this game need to exist? No, it didn't. And just, for me, like, I'm, like, a big writer. I'm a big story first kind of guy. Like, why is the Brotherhood of Steel here?
Yeah, yeah.
You can see you are shoehorning these guys into every iteration of the game where they don't belong.
Got to get that power armor in there.
Yeah, there's plenty of people with power armor. Just make a new faction.
Yeah.
You can see, like, have you run into, like, creative companies where, like, you're making content for, like, not for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I've worked for some video game companies, and, like, you sort of see choices that are being made, not for the story. It's, like, it's not the best choice for the story, but it's the best story choice for the product.
Yeah.
Why is the Brotherhood of Steel in Fallout 76? Because you can't Fallout game without the Brotherhood of Steel.
Yeah,
or Super Mutants. And
yeah.
You're like, why are Deathclaws here? They're here. So.
Yeah.
Like I said, I could keep going about this. But well, I won't.
Let me ask you this. You mentioned that you've worked for companies. I don't know if you can talk about this, but you worked for Broken Roads, right?
A little bit way back at the start on Broken Roads, yeah.
Oh, okay. Have you played the demo?
No, no computer. Like, oh, I'd love to.
That's true. Yeah.
I'd love to play it, see how it turned out. Basically, like, the thing I wrote about this, I don't know how much I'm allowed to say.
Yeah.
I was sort of allowed to flesh out an area, details about that specific area, and basically I'd like to go see how that turned out. Like, I know how the whole story was going to play out, well, how it did back, but yeah, like, I got some like names on that game, and so I was like, okay, cool, I'm just going to step back and like let you guys do your thing.
Yeah. So,
it'll be interesting to see how much sort of lasted into the final product. And yeah, like, I've been waiting a long time, like, along with everyone else, so yeah. I'm excited.
I played a little bit this last weekend, probably an hour maybe, and I think it's really well done. It's very, very, you know, Fallout 1 and 2, which is good. I don't know, I think it definitely has potential. I'm in the Discord for Drop Bear, and the people are giving feedback, and it's tons of feedback, tons of like bug reports and stuff. So I think if they run with that and they listen to, of course you can't listen to everyone, but if you listen to some of the, you know, the better suggestions and things here and there, I think it could definitely be a great game.
Yeah. Can I ask, what do you know what town or like what setting you were in for the game, for the demo?
I forgot the name of the town. It's, you're running around and you're helping the villagers, you know, they all have like little tasks for you to do. And then you have to take this one guy, you have to escort him to the next city. And I haven't done that part yet. So I haven't played too much, but yeah, I forgot the name of the city, the little town.
Set in like West Australia, so it's like it's all really remote, all small towns out there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. But no, yeah, I didn't know there was a Discord for that. Like, I'm terrible at social media, so yeah, I'll check it out and see what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, you should definitely check it out. Now, let me ask you this. Let's kind of change direction a little bit here, change gears. One thing I like to talk about, especially when I have someone on, is the craziness that's happening right now called AI. You know, AI is kind of everywhere, And like even my parents know what AI is now, you know, and as far as like generative AI, not just, you know, old AI. So a lot of people are really realizing, I think, what's going on now, and they maybe don't understand. Maybe they know about 10% of, you know, how to make an image with Midjourney, like, you know, but I think it's making its way into the news enough right now where people are really becoming aware. And I just wanted to get your take on it. What do you think about all this?
So I'm not an expert by any means. Like I've been listening to like various viewpoints on it, but I have a fair idea of like mainly focusing on like how it pertains to like being like an indie author.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've already that there's like there's just been a wave of just like AI crafted stories just on sale on Amazon.
Yeah.
And most people like talking about prompts, you know, like, you know, who are the best authors to sort of like, can I put in and like, what's the term? Like where they, the sort of style or the information from a particular source. I want to like scraping or something.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
So, I think a lot of freaking out, one of those situations where like you could sort of, okay, yeah, there's a big tide, like a big wave of like content maybe at the moment coming in. And don't, like, just don't be one of the people that, you know, get swept away in it. Like, yeah. If you want to be an indie author, artist, just keep doing your thing. Just thinking about it and, like, think I would want to talk to an AI artist or an AI author the way I want to talk to an actual artist or an actual author.
Yeah.
I just don't see myself being like, oh, what prompts do you... Like, no. Was like crafted this story, like, man, like I talked to some people on Twitter, like I had some kerfuffle there recently, so I, you know, disappeared because I wanted to talk to these other indie authors.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some really good conversations with these people, and like you talk to other creatives and just their way of doing things can be so different, and but then like you see the way they sort of formulate stories and like, you know, what, you know, sources they're drawing from.
Yeah,
fascinating. And like there are some people out there, like, I mean, like some stuff that sells is like okay, others is like, yo, well, why is this selling? But then like you see this, like there's some people out there, and like in the post-apocalyptic community as well, like it is old, and you're like, why aren't you going traditional publishing? Like this is amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wouldn't want to lose that aspect of just being able to talk to other creatives and just, you know, see their process and what you can come up with.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think we're just in this really strange time right now where, you know, it's new and it's exciting and people are realizing that it can do all these shiny new things. But yeah, in the scope of things, you still need the human creativity, the human mind to, you know, like you said, to be interesting, to make it interesting. I've messed around a lot with AI writing just to see kind of where it'll go and what it can do. And I just feel like I've said this before on the show, I just feel like it's not there. And you can get like snippets here and there, like it'll describe, you know, you can literally say like, describe this meadow or whatever. And it'll throw some really cool descriptive words in there that might be able to help you if you have a little bit of writer's block or whatever. But to be able, you know, to write an entire story, entire book, which some people are trying to do and they have done, some people have done, I'm not on board with that, you know. That's a little much.
No.
Yeah.
And thought about using, like, because, you know, if you're doing indie sort of stuff, you know, it's like, you know, you need like a cookie or something to give away for free, and I'm like, okay, so why am I paying to have a cover made for that, you know, because if I'm not going to make money. And they're like, yeah, but then like that's slippery slope and all that sort of thing. So I mean, like, if anyone wants to without going and actually buying it, that's fine. Like if you go to my Amazon and like look at like the look inside of like Days Too Dark, mm-hmm. and see like a bunch of like art pictures I used for the project there, like I spent like a lot of money on art.
Yeah.
Like I've got relationships with artists all over the world, and I mean where it's like, you know, the work, which isn't a good thing.
Yeah.
And I mean like part of the thing for me, part of the process for me with that book was I can't put every idea I want in this book. So I need to show some restraint and, you know, to sort of rein it in a bit, which is good. Otherwise it would have been like, you know, 10 times as many pieces of artwork and it would have been, you know, completely different products. But I had to choose like the best pieces I wanted in there.
Yeah.
commissions aren't cheap. So,
yeah, that's very true.
But yeah, like I've been hearing bizarre like scores around it as well. Like people, the democratization of art, like it just comes off as strange. Like, oh, damn artists keeping their skills above us. Now we can do it too. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Practice.
Yeah, I'm a painter myself, and I feel like it's like anything, you know, if you spend enough time honing your skill and you get good enough, other people shouldn't expect to just do it. You know what I mean? And I think that's where a lot of people are like, oh, I can be an artist now too. Well, that's not, it's not really.
No, sorry.
That's not what it is. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's a bigger debate. I think definitely, And I don't think it's really a black and white issue. I think there's lots of grays in between there. But yeah, I'm just excited and also nervous to see where this goes and if there's going to be regulation on it or if people are going to, I mean, where, you know, the technology, where can that go from here? And especially since the people who have been in charge of this, you know, the OpenAI and even like Elon Musk who helped start all this also, they're saying it needs regulation. They're saying people need to slow down, and that worries me a little bit.
Yeah, and yeah, it's going to be an arms race, and no one's going to do that.
Yeah, yeah, so, you can't slow it down.
No, but well, I mean, like before I left Australia, I had a friend who was like, you know, he was a chef, and he's like, I'm quitting my job, and I'm going to become like a truck driver, and I was like, what? Like that job is going away, man. Like truck drivers are like one of the first. Like they're gonna have an AI truck driving everywhere soon. Like our town actually had like an AI, like a self-driving bus. Uh-huh. You just do this because I lived in like a touristy beach area, mm-hmm. And this bus just did rounds of the Esplanade. And like, yeah, I was like, how long are they gonna be around? I mean, they've been there for like 5 years still, but you know,
yeah.
I mean, like everyone thought they'd get like factory jobs. The bus truck jobs, but they come for the white collar jobs as well. Oh. Like lawyers, they're done. Like I was getting ready to do like a copy editing course just for like writing books and like ad copy and stuff like that, and then ChatGPT, I'm like, well, that's done. So
yeah, there are definitely some jobs that are going to go on the wayside because of this. But if you look, what's actually, what I think is fascinating is it seems like it's creating jobs also. If you go on like, I don't know, Indeed and job sites like that, there are actually things saying, you know, must know ChatGPT. So it's almost like an AI wrangler job, you know, that people are hiring for their businesses. It's, I don't know, it's fascinating.
You can get ahead of the, you know, head of the curve and sort of learn how to use this. It's definitely going to be a very useful tool.
Yeah.
But deal with it, you know. I think like for authors in the indie author scene, there's always been a big element of like entrepreneurs that sort of define themselves as. Like they're not authors, they're not story crafters, they're just people trying to make money.
Yeah.
Amazon had to make like a whole new category called like low content books.
Yeah.
You know, the two.
Yeah.
Sorts of people, like, they'll just scrape by all the information about a particular topic, put together a book in like an afternoon, put a cover on it, and just sell it.
Yeah.
So, I guess, yeah. Because, again, I'm back at university, and I'm talking to like other, you know, people, you know, and other writers, and they're like, oh man, I thought this would be a good idea. And, yeah, they're worried about this ChatGPT stuff. I'm like, just do what you're going to do.
Yeah. I think it's crazy too. Like, there's a story that I wrote about yesterday on Post-Apocalyptic Media, and it's someone basically set up ChatGPT to do a church sermon. This is actually in Germany too. They said that the ChatGPT actually did about 98% of the work. They put in, you know, you are a pastor at a church. Like, they're telling ChatGPT, like, you know, you're a pastor at a church and you're speaking to a congregation, go nuts. And it came up with like psalms and prayers and music and all this stuff to do the entire thing, and they had a AI avatar at the front on a screen, and people are sitting there watching this go on. And if that's not dystopian, I don't know what is. You know, how did you feel about this whole thing?
It actually reminded me, I just had to look it up then, but 19, Japan, they've got like a Buddhist, like a temple, and like a robot is giving like sermons.
Oh.
Before, but like this is definitely a much more advanced way of doing it.
Yeah.
But that this sort of thing would be a bit easier in Japan, but there are some things I wouldn't palm off to like an AI. Church sort of seems like I'm you know, not that religious myself, but like I get the feeling like if you go to church, it's about community, it's about faith, it's about, you know, the human experience.
Yeah.
You're a robot. Like, yeah. I feel like there are some things that you wouldn't just wouldn't use it for.
Yeah, it seems like a strange situation. But I don't know. I thought it was interesting because of the fact that I think a lot of people, like exactly like you said, people go to church for the community, for the fellowship, and you know, to have that, I don't know, I hate to say robot, but it basically, you know, is an AI avatar, and it came up with everything itself. And apparently there was a line in there, I don't know if I put this in the story, but apparently there was a line where the AI said something about don't fear death, don't fear the future, you know, things like that. And once AI starts telling me about the future, that's a little much, I think. I don't know.
Well, one joke and then I'll go to the serious way. Yeah, like a robot telling you not to fear death. Like,
yeah.
No, please no. Like, sort of surprised me about this is like, this happened so soon. Like, this has been around since like, what, November last year sort of thing? Like,
yeah.
Some, like a priest or pastor, I don't know which one, but had the idea like, yeah, I'll just get a robot to do this. It's like, why?
Yeah.
Like, why do you still have a job? But yeah, I imagine ChatGPT would have just like scraped a million other sermons off the internet and just thrown something together, which is not really what you want from, like you want sort of something that's like relevant to your group, you know, the atmosphere of the room, like, you know, I've only sort of seen this stuff on television, but like, you know, I at the front can sort of feel the vibe of the room and like starts, you know, like trying to like, you know, bring people up, you know, bring everyone together.
Yeah.
And what you wrote, like apparently the screens were giving a pretty flat delivery.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah. I guess people were actually laughing at it instead of, and that was not the intended response that they wanted, but you know, when you see that, it's funny because it was probably so bad. And I think we're just not there on a lot of different aspects of it. I think this pastor probably, he wanted to be the first, maybe. He wanted to, you know, get that out there and try it out and see. Because he said somewhere else in the article, it said that he's a self-proclaimed AI artist. So I think he's very familiar with AI, and he probably came to this point where he said, you know what, I'm going to try it out on the congregation, see what they think. So
there's no to say this, but like wanting to be first doesn't really seem like a good quality, like a pastor.
yeah, definitely.
But yeah, it sort of reminds me of Elysium when he's in like the DM under the robot. No, I there was a vampire hunting movie, post-apocalyptic. It had I'm so bad with actors. He was a vampire hunting priest and he was sort of giving confession, and it was just like an AI TV screen telling him to do a bunch of Hail Marys and go out there and, you know, kill some guys. And yeah, robotic and, you know, heartless.
Yeah,
I definitely think like we have a very obvious dystopia we can avoid at this point in time.
Yeah,
whether or not that's going to be something else.
It's almost like everyone wants that dystopia.
Like, I'm trying to think, like, it's not 1984. It could be, but it's not Brave New World.
Yeah.
Like, I'm actually working with a friend at the moment, and we're sort of writing a series, sort of near future, post-apocalyptic, just trying to make it like a sort of new IP, and this completely derailed us. Yeah. Because we're like, oh god, there's AI now. Like, we thought we had some time in the timeline to sort of get around this, but not it.
Yeah.
So like, god. And then like again, Ukraine happened, like, oh man, that changes everything as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Just need things to slow down for a minute. But yeah, AI churches, no. Get your tax done with AI. Yeah, sure. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, not churches.
Yeah. It's, I think that's the thing, is it's scaring a lot of people, because no one ever thought that the, you know, people thought creativity was off the table, that we didn't have to worry about robots taking over our creativity. But, and it's not officially creativity anyway, it's, you know, scraping, like you said, but I don't know, it's pretty crazy.
Something for me, like, I will often just like randomly like a preset, like format, and I'll just fill in the blanks with like random ideas. Like, the idea won't sort of be like something I've arrived at naturally. I've sort of like generated it myself. I can write a story from that.
Yeah.
Sort of see, like, you know, like it's the AI to come up with a bunch of story prompts. And like, okay, I'll write that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone's got a line of where it's acceptable. Like, I mean, like, do you spell check? That's technically AI.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grammarly.
I'm back to a typewriter.
Yeah.
I've never actually used Grammarly. Like, I keep hearing about it. But
yeah, Grammarly, it not only will check your spelling, it'll also tell you if an entire sentence doesn't make enough sense, if it, maybe it could be reworded a different way. I mean, that's all AI. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A few years ago, like, I think Google Gmail started doing that, like, suggested text. It's like, have a good day. It's like, don't tell me what to write.
Yeah. I remember, when that first came out, I was like, well, that's scary, because that's actually what I was going to say. And it's saying it for me.
But then, like, you know, like, you might not want to say that. You might want to use a different word.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so I guess it could definitely come in handy with, like, assisting people who need it.
Mm-hmm.
I just sort of feel like it could go either way. Like, we can go full dystopia with this, or we can go like full on utopia.
Yeah.
Or a bit of both, because, you know, one man's one is the other man's other, sort of thing.
Yeah.
I'm excited either way. Like,
yeah.
If it's great, we get a great future. If it's terrible, I get a post-apocalyptic future. So either way, I win. So, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh. Hmm. Well, on that note, I think we'll end this episode. But I want to thank you for coming on. This is a great discussion. I'm always up for, you know, these types of discussions. It was a lot of fun.
Nice.
And I will put your information in the show notes for today. I'll put a link. Do you want me to put a link to your Amazon page, or what would be best?
It's the blog, like, just jjsherdy.com. Like, I just write there about mainly post-apocalyptic stories.
Okay.
Just story craft in general. So, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'll do that. And so people can check out your stuff. Again, thank you for being on. Everyone out there, I appreciate you listening. Make sure that you stay alive out there, and always be ready for the big one. Bye-bye.